Surveillance. The command center, buried deep beneath the granite skin of the mountain, was a shrine to paranoia. It was Paul's church, and he was the high priest of what if. Paul sat in the center of the room, surrounded by a semicircular array of monitors that cast a pale bluish pallor over his tired face. On the main screen, a thermal map of the valley floor pulsed rhythmically, the heartbeat of the perimeter. On the left, status bars for the atmospheric scrubbers and hydroelectric turbines flickered in green. But Paul wasn't looking at the perimeter or the power grid. He was staring with laser focus at monitor 4. "Don't do it," Paul muttered to the screen, his finger hovering over the zoom toggle. "Don't you dare calculate the angle, William." On the screen, in the humid, overgrown jungle of the hydroponics bay, Billy was standing next to a row of dwarf lemon trees. He wasn't weeding. He was staring up at the ceiling-mounted camera, his glasses reflecting the infrared LEDs. Paul knew that look. That was the look Billy got right before he hotwired a keypad or hacked a digital lock. It was the look of a problem being solved, and unfortunately, the problem Billy was currently trying to solve was how to get 5 minutes alone with Paul's daughter. Jordan was there, too. She was kneeling in the dirt, ostensibly pruning a tomato vine, but she was looking at Billy with an expression that made Paul's stomach churn with paternal dread. It wasn't just a crush. They had survived the end of the world together. Trauma bonded people. It accelerated things. "I see you," Paul whispered, tapping the console to rotate the camera 5 degrees to the left, keeping them in frame. "I have omniscient oversight, kid. You can't outthink the lens." Paul leaned back, sipping lukewarm coffee. He respected Billy. The kid was a genius, a literal prodigy who had pulled them out of scrapes that should have killed them all. But Billy's brain was a dangerous thing. If he decided to outsmart the security protocols for a makeout session, Paul was going to have a headache. Down in the hydroponics bay, the air was heavy with moisture and the smell of wet earth. It was a stark contrast to the sterile, metallic tang of the rest of the base. Here, under the hum of the massive UV grow lights, life was exploding in a riot of green. Walt was humming a low, mournful tune as he moved through rows of corn. The big man treated the plants like shy children, coaxing them upward with gentle touches of his massive, calloused hands. 3 rows over, hidden behind a trellis of climbing beans, Billy was running the numbers. "The camera is a pan-tilt zoom model, roughly 10 years old," Billy whispered, pushing his glasses up the bridge of his nose. He didn't look at Jordan, he was looking at his watch, timing the red blink of the camera's recording light. "Based on the servo motor whine, it has a rotational lag of 1.2 seconds when switching vectors." Jordan sighed, tossing a handful of weeds into a plastic bucket. "Billy, you are literally the only person on Earth who tries to flirt by doing trigonometry." "It's not trigonometry, it's situational analysis," Billy corrected, glancing at her. His heart did that traitorous stutter step it always did when she looked at him like that, half annoyed, half amused. "Your father is manually operating the feed. I can tell by the erratic movement. He's not scanning, he's fixating. The variable is us." "The variable is him being a control freak," Jordan said. She wiped a smudge of dirt from her cheek. "I just want 5 minutes. Is that too much to ask? We saved the world, Billy. I think we earned a kiss." Billy swallowed hard. "Statistically, yes. The reward-to-effort ratio is skewed." He looked around the room. "We need a diversion, something that introduces a new data point into his monitoring routine. Something high value enough to override his parental protectiveness." His eyes landed on Walt. The big islander was slumped against a support pillar near the irrigation controls. He wasn't working. He was staring blankly at a lime, looking as if the weight of the entire mountain was resting on his shoulders. He looked crushed by the gray walls. Billy's mind, a catalog of facts and observations, pulled up a file. Subject, Walt. Origin, Caribbean. Psych profile, high emotional sensitivity, acute homesickness. "I have a hypothesis," Billy said, a small, crafty smile touching his lips. "Does it involve hacking?" Jordan asked hopefully. Social engineering, Billy said. Come on. He grabbed Jordan's hand. His palm was sweating. It always was, and pulled her through the rows until they reached Walt. Walt, Billy said softly. Walt jumped, startled. He blinked, shaking his head as if waking from a dream.
Oh, hey, little brother. Hey, Jordan. Sorry, I was just thinking.
About the island, Billy stated. It wasn't a question. Walt offered a sad, lopsided smile.
Always. I was trying to remember the color of the water in the cove, you know? It's hard. The gray in this place, it overwrites the memory. I'm scared I'm going to lose it.
You don't have to rely on memory, Billy said. He adopted the tone he used when explaining complex circuitry to the adults. Confident, factual, authoritative. We have the assets to visualize it. Walt frowned.
Say what now?
The Keyhole 11 satellite, Billy said, pointing a dirty finger toward the ceiling. Paul finally got the telemetry uplink synchronized with the main dish yesterday. I saw the diagnostic report. Jordan caught on instantly. She squeezed Billy's hand, stepping forward to sell the con.
He's right, Walt. My dad was bragging about it. He said he can see anything, anywhere.
It's a polar orbiting reconnaissance satellite, Billy added, layering on the jargon to make it sound irrefutable. It has a perigee of 400 miles and an optical resolution of 15 centimeters. That means it can distinguish objects the size of a coconut.
Walt's eyes went wide.
A coconut?
It passes over the equatorial belt every 94 minutes, Billy continued, checking his watch again. Based on the orbital mechanics, it should be cresting the horizon relative to your archipelago right about now.
You mean...
Walt stood up, his massive frame trembling slightly.
You mean Pa could show me on the big screen?
If he wanted to, Billy said, shrugging. The feed is live. He just has to punch in the coordinates. But he's probably too busy watching us weed the tomatoes. He loves geography, though, Jordan added, knowing exactly which lever to pull. If you went up there and asked him about the, what is it, Billy? The geospatial rendering capabilities, Billy supplied. Right. Jordan nodded. If you asked him about that, he'd probably be excited to show you. Walt looked at the door. The longing on his face was raw and painful.
Stop running and listen up. The apocalypse is expensive, but your survival stash shouldn't be. For just $20 flat, you get the keys to the vault for a full year. That includes every audiobook I've ever released, everything recording now, and every future book. That is a year-long supply of headshots, hordes, and horror for the price of a pizza. Not ready to commit? Grab a pass for 99 cents a week or $2 a month. Cancel any time, no strings attached. Stories are dropping faster than a rage virus, so don't get left behind. Dive into the apocalypse with our four available titles. Rock out to the undead in Seeing Johnny Rockets. Survive the jazz-infused horror of Bad Night at the Rusty Nail. Face the creator of the virus in the Haven Protocol, or witness the origins of the plague in Zombie Genesis. With new titles dropping all the time, your next nightmare is ready and waiting.
I could see the shack. I could see if the storm surge took the jetty.
Down to 15 centimeters, Billy promised.
I have to go, Walt said, dropping his pruning shears. I have to ask him.
He took a step, then stopped, looking back at them guiltily.
But the work detail.
We'll finish the sector, Billy said magnanimously. Go. The window of orbital availability is closing. That was all Walt needed.
Thank you. You two are angels.
He took off running, his heavy boots thudding against the concrete, disappearing out the door. Billy watched him go, then immediately turned to Jordan.
Okay, the transit time from here to the command center is approximately 3 minutes at his gate. Once he engages Paul, the distraction should last roughly 8 minutes, assuming Paul gets sucked into the technical demonstration.
So we have 8 minutes? Jordan asked, stepping closer.
Seven. Billy corrected, guiding her toward the back of the room. We need a 1-minute buffer for re-engagement of work protocols before he checks the feed again.
Also, there is a blind spot behind the water filtration tanks. I calculated the geometry. The camera's pivot arm can't sweep past 160 degrees.
Jordan laughed, dragging him behind the massive steel tanks.
Shut up and kiss me, Billy.
Affirmative, Billy squeaked. In the command center, Paul watched the empty garden on monitor 4. He frowned.
Where had they gone?
Then the door to the control room whooshed open.
Paul!
Walt burst in, looking like a man possessed. He was out of breath, sweat shining on his forehead.
Is it true? Billy said it's true.
Paul spun his chair around, hand drifting to his coffee cup to steady himself.
Walt, what are you doing up here? What did Billy say?
The keyhole 11, Walt gasped, gripping the edge of the console. The polar orbit, the coconut resolution, man, he said. He said you can see the island right now.
Paul blinked.
Coconut resolution? Billy told you what?
He said the telemetry is synced, Walt pleaded. He said it's passing over the equator right now. Paul, please, I need to see the blue. I'm forgetting the blue.
Paul looked at the big man's face. It was twisted with such open, naked hope that Paul felt his defenses crumble. He looked back at the security monitor. The garden was still empty.
Billy is a know-it-all, Paul grumbled, but his fingers were already moving to the main keyboard. He's technically correct. The uplink is stable, but it's not for sightseeing, Walt. It's for threat assessment.
My heart is threatened, Walt said simply, pressing a hand to his massive chest. Please, brother.
Paul sighed. He couldn't say no. Not to Walt.
Fine, Paul said. Give me the coordinates.
Walt recited the numbers. Paul typed them in. On the massive central screen, the digital map of the world spun. The camera zoomed, plunging down from the edge of space. The clouds parted like curtains. The screen filled with brilliant, shocking turquoise.
Oh, Walt exhaled, the sound escaping him like a prayer.
The camera stabilized. There was the white sand. There were the palm trees swaying in a silent wind. There was the little wooden shack, battered, but standing.
It's there, Walt whispered, tears instantly filling his eyes.
He stepped closer, reaching out to touch the cold glass.
Look at the reef, Paul. Look at the way the light hits the water.
It's high definition, I'll give him that, Paul admitted, feeling a twinge of awe himself. The clarity was incredible. He could see individual whitecaps on the waves.
Zoom in, Walt begged. Billy said 15 centimeters. I need to see the mango tree.
Paul tapped the keys. The image magnified. They hovered over the jungle canopy.
There, Walt pointed, laughing through his tears. It's still standing, and the roof. I need to fix that roof when I get back.
For a moment, Paul allowed himself to be drawn in. It was a beautiful sight, a reminder that the whole world wasn't dead gray rock and shambling corpses. They were still places where the sun shone on clean water. Then his brain caught up with the situation. Billy sent him. Billy knew exactly what to say. Billy calculated the orbit. Paul spun his chair back to the security console. He looked at monitor 4, still empty. He looked at the timestamp. 5 minutes had passed since Walt entered the room.
That little tactile genius, Paul hissed.
It's beautiful,
Walt murmured, lost in the pixels.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you.
Don't thank me, Paul said, his voice rising in pitch. Thank the 16-year-old mastermind who just played us both like a fiddle.
Paul grabbed the joystick for the camera control. He swept the lens across the garden. Nothing. He zoomed in on the tool shed. Nothing.
Where are you? Paul muttered, scanning the room. I know you're in there. You can't hide from thermal.
He toggled the view to infrared. The screen turned grayscale. And there, glowing bright white against the cool blue of the water tanks in the far corner, were two heat signatures. They were very close together, merged almost.
Found you, Paul growled.
He looked at the heat blobs. They weren't weeding. You didn't generate that much body heat weeding.
Walt,
Paul barked, standing up.
Yeah?
Walt asked, wiping his eyes, unable to look away from the island.
Your work crew has exploited a blind spot behind the filtration unit, Paul said, pointing at the thermal image. Billy calculated the camera angle. He knew I couldn't see behind the tanks with the optical lens.
Walt looked at the fuzzy white blob on the small screen.
He squinted.
Is that... Are they kissing?
They are exchanging thermal energy at an alarming rate, Paul snapped. He grabbed his radio. This is a security breach. An emotional security breach.
Walt looked from the beautiful, peaceful island on the big screen to the flustered, red-faced father on the little screen. A slow grin spread across his face.
Let him be, Paul, Walt said softly. Look at the island. Look at the hope. Let the kids have a little hope, too.
I don't want them having hope behind a water tank, Paul shouted, pacing the room. I want them having supervision.
He hit the PA button.
William!
Paul's voice boomed through the speakers, echoing down into the garden.
I know about the blind spot. I'm looking at your heat signature. Separate. 5 feet. Now!
On the thermal screen, the two white blobs jumped apart as if electrified. Paul slumped back into his chair, rubbing his face with both hands.
He calculated the orbit, Paul muttered to himself, shaking his head. He social engineered the gardener. He hacked my dad reflexes.
Smart kid,
Walt chuckled, turning back to his ocean.
Yeah, Paul sighed, looking at the screen, where the two heat signatures were now furiously pretending to prune a bush 5 feet apart. Too smart. I'm going to have to upgrade the firmware.
Human. Extinction level. Loss.
Want the ultimate survival stash for the price of a single pizza? You can unlock my entire audiobook vault for a full year. For just $20, you get past, present, and future releases, unlimited zombie action for 365 days. Prefer a shorter sprint? Join for 99 cents a week or $2 a month with the ability to cancel anytime. The deal is shambling your way right now. Don't miss out. Cardio, baby.